The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Another episode of the Atlanta Podcast. I am your host, Matt B. Davis, and on the Atlanta Podcast, we talk to the famous, Atlanta famous, infamous, and guess what else? Just about anybody else I feel like chatting with. Special midweek episode. Actually, it's Tuesday, but whenever you're listening to this is whenever you're listening to this, but I'm recording this on a Tuesday. Looking at Friday episodes these days, every Friday consistently. Going to keep that schedule. However, you may occasionally get a bonus like this one with my buddy Greer Carlson. Man, that's hard to say back to back. Greer Carlson. Let's just say Greer. How many freaking Greers do I know? I know one. So I go super duper way back with Greer, as you'll find out on this program. And this thing got lost in the shuffle, man. There was a random Mark Spain real estate ad, local real estate company, right? Comes on and there's Greer reading to me or talking to me. And I'm like, holy shit, there's my buddy Greer. She's definitely a woman about Atlanta. Many of you listening to this may know her. She is definitely a good woman to know about town. And it reminded me, holy shit, that I've heard that episode and I found it and I hadn't. So we're going to get to it. Let's learn about Greer. Great gal. So glad we got this catch up. It's always just fun to catch up with people you haven't talked to in a long time. So let's get to Greer. Sorry, I've been saying Carlson. It's Howard. Should I record this whole thing over? No. Greer, did your name used to be Carlson? Hang on. Oh my God. Am I confusing you with another Greer? Wouldn't that be amazing? Yeah, that used to be your name. How hilarious. You're Greer Howard with a blue check mark. Greer, you're Greer Howard. It is 100% going to say Greer Howard on this episode. I'm going to leave this because, you know, we're human. And it's fun to leave the real shit. I'm not going to record this whole thing. It's Greer Howard, formerly known as Greer Carlson, which I can see why she changed it, right? Because it's so hard to say Greer Carlson. Greer Howard and I on a chat. Away we go.
Okay, here we
go. Greer, would you believe it turns out this is what I was born to do?
I believe it.
Not to run a stupid staffing company. No offense to...
We love staff. We're so glad that they're here for you. You know, sometimes you have to do something to pay the bills, and then you have your dream and your passion projects and the things that keep you alive. And somehow when you mix them all together, it works, you know?
Yeah, but here's the thing. When I started the staffing company, it was like, I want to say almost an accident. So I'm not sure if we've ever had this conversation. We probably have, because we'll get to why I like you so much. But I was in LA and I was doing promos. And for those that don't know, a promotion is any what they call experiential marketing event. So when you go to the Braves game and a cute gal hands you the latest Pepsi or your... I fucking can't even think anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I used to do a lot of that actually right out of school.
Right.
Right out of college.
That's how I found
you. It was good money. I know.
Right.
I mean, I'm 40 now. So that was a long time ago.
Would you believe I'm going to be 50 this year?
No, actually I wouldn't.
I look fantastic.
You really do.
Right?
Yeah, you do.
So anyway, so I did these things. I lived in LA and I was trying to make it, mm-hmm. right? As a comedian, actor, whatever. And I was like, I feel like I could do this better than these companies do. Like, it just doesn't seem that hard. Like, mm-hmm. I think I could pay people well. I could pay them on time. I could be more organized. And so I literally Googled, how do you get a business license? How do you get a tax ID? These things were all free, mm-hmm. right? And so that's how I started my company.
Wow.
And then I was so happy because like, oh, cool, I'm a business owner now. But I was not, this is not what I was born to do. There's something else for me. At the time, I thought I was going to be a famous comedian. Turns out that wasn't what I was supposed to do.
Oh, man. There's still time, right? You never know. It might still happen.
But then I moved back here because my wife and I had our first kid and we just wanted to get out of LA. And so I enjoyed, like, I liked making money, but it just, I was very, what's the word? Just sort of crippled. Like I hated my job as much as anyone hates a 9-to-5, mm-hmm. but the problem was I couldn't quit or fire because it was me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So how I found you was, you know, you're always looking for decent people and you hire people and you hire people. Then once in a while, somebody's a fucking star. And then you want that person every time and you're one of those people.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's really nice of you to say.
Well, no, but it's Greer, it's true. It's why we're talking today is because
it's a big compliment.
Like, listen, all cards on the table, PC or not, clients want you to look a certain way and work hard.
Mm-hmm.
Some people work really hard, don't have that look. Some people have that look and don't work very hard. And you are one of those people who I could like, oh, she looks great. And sorry, I know we're not supposed to say that in 2022. And will like show up on time, run the team well, all those things.
Yes.
And that's how I found you. And it turned out you had your own little stuff on the side even back then.
Yeah.
Right?
I've always had things on the side. I mean, that's all I've ever known, truthfully. I mean, once I got out of school, I started working as a contractor. I was a freelancer at Turner Studios. And I've always had a couple of different jobs. And it's sort of grown over the years. And it's, I feel like a cat sometimes. I'm not sure. I hope I'm not on like life 9, but I feel like I've had a lot of lives. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
well,
in my life.
Yeah. So I do want to back up. Where did you grow up? What town did you grow up in?
I grew up in Orlando, Florida.
Okay.
And so I lived there until I went off to college. My parents still live there. I have a brother. He does not live there. He lives in New York. And I went to Clemson in South Carolina.
Okay.
And then after Clemson, I moved to Atlanta with a couple of my girlfriends.
So just like, hey, I've done the college thing. Boom. Atlanta seems like the next.
Well, it made sense for me because, you know, I, like you said, I am a hard worker. I just hard work comes. That's just how I was raised. That's how my family is. And every summer, I always had an internship somewhere in some type of media form. So I did radio my first year back in Orlando. The next year, after my sophomore year, I actually was up in New York and I interned at the Today Show, the weekend Today Show. And so I spent a summer up there. And then after that, I got an internship in Atlanta at CNN Headline News. And they had an entertainment segment at the time. So I worked for the producer and the anchor, and I was their intern for that summer. So I had gotten to know people at Turner. And so when I graduated, there was an opening for a freelance coordinator, production coordinator, and they were willing to take a chance on me because I had been a good intern.
Right.
And so I moved to Atlanta and started that.
Few questions.
Yes.
Do you know O-Town?
O-Town. Not as well anymore. Oh, wait, the band. The band O-Town?
Yes.
Or like, yes. Yeah, I do. I'm like, yes, I do remember O-Town. But I don't know them personally.
But I'm saying like,
we aren't like friends or anything.
That's when they were coming up though.
Yes.
Wasn't the whole Orlando Universal, like people launching from Orlando and Disney becoming pop stars?
Yes.
What were the other ones?
I can't. For sure. 98
Degrees?
There was 98 Degrees. Yes. They were also from, I didn't know any of them though. I wasn't in like the boy band scene.
Okay.
So I didn't know them personally.
Okay. Do you know Matt Lauer?
So I did. The thing was, so I worked on the weekend show, so I knew him, and I was able to sit down with Katie, because Katie Couric was there at the time, and I was able to sit with her and with Matt Lauer before I left for like to like interview them and kind of talk to them. But I didn't work with them on a daily basis. I worked with, at the time it was Soledad O'Brien, and she was on the weekend and I loved her. She was amazing. And then, oh my gosh, the guy's name is, I'm losing it right now, but he actually died a few years after, he had a blood clot in like Afghanistan.
Oh my goodness.
He was lovely. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but those were the weekend anchors.
Soledad's
typically worked with them.
Soledad's on Real Sports and a bunch of other stuff.
She's very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very, very well-established, interesting woman.
I got to meet Katie briefly at the Super Bowl a couple years ago. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
I'll show you the clip later.
Yeah.
She was super cool.
Cool.
So So you're here, you go up to New York, you come back, and then I feel like you did. So when I met you, mm-hmm. we're talking 7, 8? What years is it?
I mean, I moved here in 2003.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, but didn't you have your own, like, did you have your own staffing company or what were you, what was your, like, I feel like you had a company. Like, I hired you, you were great, you worked for my company a couple times, but I feel like you already had a, like, your own thing.
I never had a staffing company, but I mean, I worked in television. I mean, TV was what I have done, you know, ever since I got out of school. I mean, so I'm not sure what project maybe when we reconnected. Maybe it was the Local Lens when I was working with Beth. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I just remember being like, okay, this gal has a lot going on.
Yes, I usually have a lot going on. So it might have slipped my mind what I was doing. But yes, I mean, I typically have always had a few, you know, a few things that I'm working on, and it just kind of evolves, you know, every year. I feel like it's
right.
Not always the same.
And I can't remember. Do you have a family? Like, have you?
I do. Well, so I was married. I'm divorced now. We've been divorced 5 years. I was married for 8. That was a whole nother crazy life too. And I have a son. So I have an 8-year-old son. He's in second grade. He's my world.
I have an 8-year-old son.
You do?
He's a lunatic.
Mine, I don't know. Mine's still not sweet. He's still pretty sweet, but he's, yeah, I mean, he's wild for sure.
Yeah. So we have 2 boys. Mm-hmm. My daughter's 14.
Oh, wow.
And my sons are 12 and 8. And yeah, River's the little one. He's the 8-year-old.
Aw, so fun.
What part of town are you in?
I'm in Sandy Springs.
Okay.
Yep.
And then today, like as of now, mm-hmm. tell us like what do you have going on?
So now, I mean, like we've said, I have a lot of things, I guess, right? But so I used to work for the Braves. So a lot of people know me because I was the in-house reporter for the Braves. So I did that for 6 years. And then I was sort of looking for something else because the hours can get a little crazy. And my son had gotten into school. So I was trying to figure out something that I could make sure I was at his baseball games. And so then I got offered a position to host a show called Atlanta's Best New Homes. So I started that. I've been hosting it for 2 years now. It's actually been on air for 24 years, which is crazy. The lovely woman who hosted it before me was there for 16 years. And it airs every Saturday morning, 9:30 on Fox 5 Atlanta.
Okay.
And we shoot every Monday and Tuesday, 50 weeks a year. So 50 weeks a year, I shoot with this TV
show. It's a good gig.
It's a great gig. And it's well-established. And
would you like to come to my home?
Yeah. So, well, it is.
It's not new or the best, but.
Right, but we'd love to.
But it is in Atlanta.
Yes. So it's typically new construction. That's really what they focus on, are new construction homes. And it's been interesting over the past, you know, couple years. So I've been doing that. And then I continue to work with my agent. I work with People Store here in town. I do a lot of kind of one-off hosting jobs, corporate things. I do a lot of voiceover work. I've got a voiceover booth at my house. So I do a lot of that for clients.
Do you?
I do. A lot of just spokesperson, commercially type stuff.
Right.
And then about a year ago, I started working for a vodka brand. I wasn't looking for it, but I actually brought you vodka today.
She brought me a shitload of vodka. Peach Wave, Lemon yes. Drift, and Cucumber. Oh my God.
Yes.
This is like, is this like well over $100 worth of booze?
Oh, for sure.
This
yes.
is a
this
lot
is a
of
well
booze.
Over $100 gift basket I just
this
gave
is amazing.
You, with no strings attached. Just,
I will
you know,
not
take it home
be partaking. It is 9 a.m.
It is early. It is early.
So it is 5 o'clock somewhere.
Somewhere. So that this position is called a consumer advocate. So I started doing that about a year ago, and I've really enjoyed it. It kind of just weaves into my life. And then from the home show, I started working with the Home Builders Association here in town. And someone left from the Home Builders Association, and they do a parade of homes every year. And they hired me for the first 5 months of this year
right.
to run the parade of homes this year. So that's the one. That's why we're here at 9 a.m. because I have to actually get into an office today and get some work done.
No, I understand, and I appreciate you. I appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
So. The Brave stuff. Mm-hmm. What was your title there?
So when I worked for the Braves, I was their in-house reporter. It was really cool because I actually worked for the team, and we created content for social. We did a show, a pregame show before the game at the ballpark. So I had 3 years at Turner Field, and then had 3 years at SunTrust Park before it was Truist.
Right.
And it was awesome. I loved working for them. You know, I it really grew. That position grew when I was there. We ended up doing a lot with retail, designing some like a women's line for them. And the fashion became a big part of what I did, and reaching out to like female fans. And it was a ton of fun. I loved it. I loved being able to, you know, interact with the team and then also interact with fans and create positive stories for them. And it was really a great gig. It was a job that really didn't exist, you know, when I got, even when I got out of school.
Right.
But when social media became a thing, and when companies and sports teams start to have their own following, they start to make their own content. So it was really fun. We produced a monthly show that we used to do that was online. That was pretty cool. The last like 2 years I was there. And, yeah, I mean, I really loved it. It was a wonderful, wonderful gig.
Did you know Peter Sorkoff with the Hawks?
I don't know. I've never worked with the Hawks.
It's okay. So he was the first like creative officer in like, I think any of the sports, but definitely in the NBA, when these sports started realizing like, oh, like it's not just like, well, we're the local team, so you should like us. It's like a brand is a thing.
It's a thing.
And so he did that. And if you've noticed, the Hawks the last few years, like they're kind of crushing it in branding. He's absolutely no longer there, but they've sort of picked up that. So these teams that are figuring out, we need young people, we need good people in creative, in social, to knock this out of the park, because that's, I mean, it's funny. Sports has changed so much. So I know you're younger than me, but we still come from a certain generation. Mm-hmm. My sons, they know players.
Oh, yeah.
They don't know teams.
Ooh.
Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They know Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
They know Steph Curry. They know LeBron. But they don't like necessarily root for those teams. They understood from the video game perspective, from the brand perspective, from the persona perspective. It's very different than when
it's
you and I grew
different.
Up.
I will say, so my son for baseball, because he grew up with Braves, is like very into like Braves, right?
Right.
But this was our first year we played fantasy football with his buddies, right? So that became really apparent when we did this fantasy football team, because you know, he is like, you're just like you're saying, he's rooting for who's on his fantasy football team,
right?
You know, and he's watching the fantasy football because he's rooting for that particular person.
Right.
And so you end up, it's actually genius, because then you have to watch all of the games. We grew up saying, well, this is our team, so we watch this game. Now you watch all of them because you're invested in these particular players and they're on all different teams.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally changed kind of everything. I mean, my son's like, I don't know that they've ever watched a whole game start to finish, but like they know all these players because, you know, like they're doing the moves and you know what I'm saying? Like
yeah,
even on the court, but I don't think, like if I took them to a Hawks game, I don't know they'd make it. You know what I mean?
Depends on your kid, because I will say that mine will. Like he loves to watch games. Like he would rather watch anything sports than do anything else on TV.
Right. He also grew up with you.
Right.
Right. So like my kids have been to all these crazy obstacle races. Like I don't know, are you familiar with my whole like weird world?
A little bit. Not as much as I probably should be.
Well, it's a very niche sport. Mm-hmm. So like any niche sport, if you haven't heard of it, you haven't heard of it. But if you care about it, you really care about it, right? Just like people who are into, you know, anything that's like, if you're watching sports and like there's like a bass fishing channel or a Baja Road thing, like you've never heard of it, but like the people who love that, like care about
very
it.
Very loyal following.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so that's turns out what like I feel like I was born to do is some sort of I just sort of, this world found me and it's become like the last 10 years of my life has been taken over by this.
Yeah.
But because I enjoy talking to people and you know, I hate the term creating content, but that's what I do now.
Sure.
I make podcasts, I make videos. It was like, well, I like this stuff a lot, but wouldn't it be cool if I could talk to people in my own city and like do more like talking to you? And you know, yesterday I talked to this runner who lives here, and I've got to talk to, what's his name? Who's the president of the Hawks? What's his name? Steve Koonin, and you know, like musician, whoever.
Yeah.
Right. And luckily for me, I did start podcasting before. Whoa! I almost knocked over my whole coffee.
The coffee almost went down
before everybody else.
He did not have any vodka. I can attest.
Can I pour a little nip in?
You can, of course. Yeah, no judgment here.
I will not do that. What does your mug say?
This is my Yeti. I bring my Yeti everywhere.
No stickers on it, though. That's the move now.
No, like people, there's no stickers. I just
not even a Brave
water.
Sticker.
No, I should, but no. There's
as you can see, I put stickers even on anything.
You
So, were you there last year? Like when Hank Aaron passed, were you there?
No, I loved Hank. I did know Hank Aaron. I mean, only in the sense of that I got to interview him a few times. And he was so lovely, truly such a legend, such a gentleman. What a wonderful human being who just left behind such an incredible legacy.
Yeah, it's the year anniversary.
Yeah, today?
Yesterday, maybe.
Okay, but he is incredible. So I knew him from an interviewing him kind of, you right. know, perspective.
Right.
But I mean, I wasn't actually working for the team.
Were you the one that got to interview Bob Costas?
Yeah, I did. Man. I did get to interview him. Yes.
That's like literally like, so when I was a kid, like I was a huge, like, that's how I kind of know I was born to do this is like,
yeah.
yes, I loved and watched sports, but I also like kind of worshiped like Bob Costas
sure.
and John Madden and those guys.
Yeah.
So talk to me about that.
I mean, that was for a particular event. I believe it was for Black History Month. And we were at a big event, and the Braves were a big sponsor of it. We had Hank was there at the time, and then a bunch of other alumni. It was a big conversation that we had, and he was the moderator of it. So we, you know, it was, you know, I mean, truthfully, when you're able to interview someone like that in that type of environment, you've been in those environments before. You get about, I don't know, 3.5 minutes
right.
at most.
Right.
But it was about the event and being there and you know, how important it was and how he was, you know, just glad to be there to be a part of it and be a part of that conversation.
Right.
And that was neat because when I worked for the team, I was able to be a part of a lot of really cool events like that. And that was just one of many that, you know, I was able to, you know, be there and talk to some really interesting people.
Yeah. So I went to this SCAD TV festival, which is here, and it's been virtual the last few years. But the first year, they do these things where they do kind of like they walk the carpet, sort of, and you do the, even though it's not really a carpet, the little, you know, the little step and repeat.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's the big scrum, as they call it, right?
I've been scrum before.
Yeah. I like this. I like long form.
I do too. But it's harder to get people, certain people in long form.
So, but they had this thing where they moved you to different tables. So you got five
speed
minutes.
Speed dating.
Exactly.
Yeah. I did that once.
So I did it.
Not speed dating, but in interview style.
Right. And so I was like, sometimes I didn't even know about anything about these people, but for me, I just kind of looked at it as like a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to ask them anything other people ask them.
Mm-hmm.
And can I, like, I quickly became like, how can I get them to like tell the person to like, wait a minute? Like, cause their handlers
are enjoying it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So to try to like, and like sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't, you know what I mean? Or just like, again, I just looked at it as a challenge because I don't work for anybody. I've got no
right.
PR notes.
Right.
So let me just like fire away.
I'm just going for it.
Right.
I love that. I mean, I think that's a lot of people, a lot of actors always complain about that. I don't know if you've heard, you know, different podcasts of them, you know, they'll talk about like junket days and how they
it's
have
the worst.
To,
they yeah, say it's I the mean, worst.
They literally have to go from interview to interview and truly answer most of the time the same question, which is hard because I think when you're on the media side, because you're for a certain publication, you are trying to get that, you know, the overall story of what they're trying to promote, but then you're also trying to find that nugget that nobody else can find.
Right.
You know, and so it can be, you know, a little tricky. But
I feel like I watch sometimes these people, like, you know how you can tell when they're like the posters behind them or whatever and that those things. Have you watched those and gone like, I can't believe that person is doing the interview job?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I used to do junkets a lot with my friend Beth. I mean, we did a lot of junkets.
That's who I feel like you were doing when I...
Probably. That was the Local Lens project that turned into Unscripted, and then it just kind of went away with COVID because it was just too hard to be like in everyone's, you know, in everyone's space. But yes, we did a lot of that, and that was always our goal. So we always went in with the goal of, because they never had two people. It was always one person, so it was really different for them to have two. And then we kind of went in as like, we're going to be like their girlfriends, like their friends, you know, like we're just buddies, like hanging out with them.
Right.
And truly, a lot of the time, I mean, we would get a lot of feedback of like, hey, we actually really like hanging out with those girls. Like
right.
they were really cool. You know, they were fun because we tried to make it more like chill and not as, but yes, I mean, I don't know how some of those people get those jobs. I mean, who knows, right? But
yeah,
they're out there.
Right. And yeah, I get it. I get you've got, if you're doing a job and you've like, hey, we got to cover these things. But yeah, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I don't, you just, Yeah, I'm always like shaking my head at those things.
Totally.
But
usually they're answering to somebody back at, you know, back at the office. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's probably that.
But yeah, so I tried, I think they are bringing the real thing back for SCAD, or maybe they're not. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's virtual again. And I did one, so I did one virtual interview and I'm super proud of it. So Ridley Scott, the famous director, and Tony Scott, the really mm-hmm. famous directors. So their son made this documentary about running, and I got to, like, because I'm in the running world, like, I was like, hey, could I do an interview with him? And he was clearly doing junkets, and, this is like, somebody came in and was like, you know, okay, he's going to join this room and blah, blah, blah. And so then, like, they gave me like 8 minutes or something. And the guy jumped in at like 8 minutes and was like, hey, you're almost done. And he was like, no, let's let it go. He's the last one of the day. And he said, I'm glad you were the last one. Cause I was asking him shit that people aren't asking him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so when that happens, I get like, oh, man, I should do this more. I should really go all in and try to get bigger celebrities and bigger names. Cause like, I feel like I am half decent at this talking to thing people. And you know, when you're, you know, everybody has a podcast and there's no reason I'm going to be found by whoever. Anyway, mm-hmm.
Well, if you're talking about something different, though, you might. You know, I mean, because then listeners are able, if they're fans of those people and they're not hearing that information, they're not hearing those stories somewhere else, and they're hearing it from you.
Right. I just feel like some people it is what comes natural to us, is just to be able to convert. Just not like, I used to not quite understand it. Like, I was like, well, it's just talking. So I'm not sure why because people would say, hey, I really enjoy your podcast. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm just talking to these people. But like, I've learned like, oh, it is an actual skill that you can get better at. Like anything, it's kind of like half skill, half like, what's the word? Like half science, half not.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. Like when people ask you, how do you do your job well? You're like, I don't know. I pay attention and listen well. Right.
Yeah. You listen and you've worked at it, but you know, I mean, some of it's maybe you have a little bit naturally, but you have to work on that. You know, like I tell people all the time, like the camera, like I have to interview a lot of people that have never been in front of a camera before. And you know, when you're doing an interview in front of a camera, it's very different from being an actor, you know? And so I have spent years making that camera my very best friend. Like, we are such buds. So when I'm looking at that camera, I can be so natural and normal, and I'm trying to help bridge the gap for the person I'm talking to be like, hey, let's be natural. Because that is a friend, because someone on the other end is watching it. And,
right.
And when I'm looking at it, they think I'm looking at them, you know? And so it's important that you get this, you get comfortable with the camera. Now, if you're an actor, it's very different. You never look at the camera, ever.
Right.
The camera is capturing something that you're doing. It's capturing a moment. So you never look at it. So it's a very different skill. So, you know, you have to consciously be like, okay, am I looking at the camera? Are you my friend? Or are you capturing something? You know, and so that's why I've really worked on, no, it's my friend. I have a hard time being an actor because I'm going to look at it. You know?
Right.
Like, I want it to be there. But that's something I worked on for a long time. You know, and so now it's almost odd, you know, if it's not there, if I'm, you know, like right now there's no camera. So you're like, well, where do I, you know, but it's, you know, it's just that type of thing, that type of skill you have to work on.
Who was the last person that you had a chance to interview that you were like a flutter, that you were like, okay, oh boy, either because you really liked them or you just thought maybe their persona was big, or has there been someone that's made you nervous?
Oh, sure. I mean, multiple, right. I mean, I think anytime you're interviewing someone of a high profile, you are trying to work out this whole, I need to be cool and be professional. You don't want to be weird. You don't want to be a fan. You're not a fan.
I love that you just said weird, though.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that act weird, you know, and it's like, stop being weird.
I'm sorry.
Just be normal.
I'm sorry.
Be yourself.
I'm sorry.
They are just a human being,
right? Right.
And so when you treat them like, oh my God, I'm a fan. I mean, I still do to this day. Like, if a friend's like, can I get a picture? Oh my God, that's who, such and such, get a picture. I'm like, oh my gosh, get me the farthest away possible, you
right.
know? Right. Because you don't want to be that way, you know? So you want to be normal. Hey, how are you? You know, and you also, I want them to know, hey, I'm here to make you look good. I'm not here to ask you any dingers,
right?
You know, because I don't do interviews to make people feel stupid, look stupid. That's never been my thing.
Right.
Want them to feel comfortable. So, but you're also kind of you have that weight of, wow, this is a really high profile person. You know, like, whew. You know, I mean, I remember talking about that red carpet, right? I interviewed Denzel Washington on the red carpet for Fences, and you see him coming down, and there he is, you know, and I'm like, okay, he's coming. I hope he doesn't pass me. Okay, I'm gonna have to be cool,
right?
You know?
Right.
Have to reach out.
I'm like grinning ear to ear just hearing you say Denzel.
Yeah, I mean, and so I'm hoping he's not gonna pass me, you know, because I'm towards the end and he's done, and you know, when he gets to me, and so and we did a couple questions. I don't remember what I asked, you know, at this moment, but I do remember he smiled at me. Like, he really smiled at me, you know? And we got a picture of it, and I laughed because I was like, Denzel smiled at me, and he meant it, you know, because it was like genuine. Now he's got it down because he's Denzel, right? But you know, you can be a little nervous. It's a little nerve wracking. You know, even when this past year, so I hadn't worked for the Braves for 2 years, but when they were in the postseason this year, when they went to LA, they asked me to go. And so I did. So I went to LA, and there was sort of that feeling too, because it was like I was back in the saddle, but I hadn't been doing it all season. Now,
right.
I'd been following the team because I'm a fan and my son's a fan. So I pretty much knew everything I needed to know, but I hadn't been in that environment. And so you're back on the field with, you know, a bunch of other reporters, you know, and when the show that I do now, it's, you know, it's me, one person, nobody's a celebrity, you know, it's just all, you know, very natural. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that was probably the last time that I was like, ooh, you know, that felt kind of nerve wracking, but it's such a great rush because you're a little nervous and then it happens and then you're like, okay, I did it. That was great. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen as much anymore because I'm just not doing anything as high profile.
Right. Well, I want the listeners to know from a visual perspective, when she started talking about Denzel smiling, her grin got really, really big.
Yeah.
Just talking about it.
Yeah.
And like,
he's amazing.
No, I mean, it's funny. I've heard this phrase, like, when they looked at me, I was the only person they were talking to. And that's actually only happened to one person that I really believed it. And it was Gary Vaynerchuk.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh.
So I met him at the Super Bowl here. Mm-hmm. And he was so, like, he took the time to be so genuine. And I'm like, oh, well, this is why who he is. Because he gets approached about 100 times a day. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, it wasn't, because some people try to do that and you can feel it.
Yeah.
It feels bullshitty. It feels like, I'm listening to you. I'm active listening. And he was so present and so right there. And I was like, you're the man, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not like a worshiper like a lot of these people are, mm-hmm. but he definitely, like, I was like, okay, like the world literally went away and he was right there.
Right there.
Did you go down to any of the Super Bowl stuff when it was here?
No, nothing for the Super Bowl. Mm-mm.
So I was under the impression it might be hard to get like a media pass, and it turns out it's not. For the game it is, but just to get the sort of, they have this thing they call Radio Row.
Yeah.
It's actually not that hard. So I got to go again in Miami. I might go out to LA in a couple weeks
because cool.
It's actually not that. And then once you're in that room, you're kind of vetted.
Right.
So that's how I got to talk to Katie. That's how I got to talk to a bunch of random people. I can show you later. So what was this like? What was this year like for you watching the Braves World Series run?
Oh, it was incredible. Oh my gosh. Like, how much fun. You know, when I was there, especially when we were at Turner Field, you know, we were rebuilding, finally got to SunTrust and we were still rebuilding. But my last 2 years we had gone, you know, to the postseason, which was exciting. We just didn't, you know, we were just excited to be there. And obviously having the season that they had this year where, you know, halfway through they would have never in a million years thought that they would have, you know, made it to the World Series, much less won. They were just hoping maybe they'd get to the postseason. It was incredible. I mean, I just root for them, watching the team, watching them. I mean, Alex Anthopoulos being able to pull together all of those trades, make all those moves happen to get that, to form that team and for them to gel like they did and just be the underdog and go for it. I love an underdog story.
Who doesn't?
You know, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's incredible. And so it was so much fun. And truthfully, it was such a gift to be able to be a fan, because, you know, when you work, it's, you know, your mindset's just different when you're, you know, work mode is different than when you're in fan mode. And to be able to be a fan, and I got to go to a couple of the World Series games that were here, that was amazing. And I got to take my son to some of the postseason games. And so that was just such an incredible experience. And it was, I mean, just to be a fan and to be so invested in the team was amazing.
Did you cry?
Probably. I don't remember a specific cry, but I'm sure I did.
So what are you, other than what the vodka thing, what are you kind of doing this year?
I mean, just like I said, I mean, my plate truthfully is so full. Especially until this parade is over. I think that's like, that was another thing that I've kind of added to my plate that I've gone, oh wow, this is a lot. I don't really have the capacity for a whole lot more, I feel like. But I mean, it's between the show, running the parade, doing the vodka, and also all the other clients that I've always worked for, I continue to work for, and then putting auditions on tape, and
right,
doing the voiceovers and all that. It's like, honestly, what can I shed? You know, like, right, like what needs to go is probably.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like right now, it's just kind of, I'm just sort of doing all these projects, and then I'm trying to carve out that time to make sure I'm there for my son and, you know, being a good mom and all that kind of stuff too, because that's really important to me.
Have you done, like, would we know any of you, like, did you do any like local voiceover stuff or national stuff that we might know of?
I mean, most of the things I do truthfully are like corporate stuff, right, that you probably would never hear.
Right.
I did a campaign for Goodwill for a long time that was on the radio that people sometimes would recognize that was me.
Right.
But
what was the tagline?
I don't remember. It was something, but they were trying to make it like Goodwill trendy and fun, and so they wanted like a young spunky voice. And
right.
So I mean, I don't remember. I brain dump a lot.
It's okay.
I brain dump a lot.
It's okay. Having kids does that.
Yeah, there's only so much capacity up there.
No, I have three kids, and they have eaten away whatever memories, yeah, I used to have.
Yeah. But no, and I mean, there was like a couple tour. Like I did a tourism one for South Carolina and for Tennessee, you know, commercials, that kind of stuff. But I mean, not really anything crazy, just stuff that pays the bills, you know?
Right. No, I get it.
It's the non-sexy stuff that pays the bills
for the most, well, a lot of times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's true.
So I always like to ask people a bunch of Atlanta favorites questions.
Okay.
There are no wrong answers. These are your favorites.
Sure.
Okay. Are you ready?
Okay. Yes.
What is your go-to order at the Waffle House?
Okay, at the Waffle House, I just like to get a waffle with a side of bacon and scrambled eggs. That's it.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Like I said, no wrong answers. what is your favorite restaurant currently in Atlanta?
So I live in Sandy Springs, and there's a couple restaurants that I love in Sandy Springs. Rumi's has always been a staple for me, but there's one that's a little bit newer that's like a kind of high-end like Mexican place, and the food's amazing. It's called Casa Cielo.
Okay.
And it is delicious. Okay. I go as much as I can.
Where is it located?
It's on Roswell Road in Sandy.
Okay, so that's a very big area. What is it next to? I probably don't even know what it's next to, but
it's actually like underneath this apartment complex across from the Dunkin' Donuts and across from Rumi's.
Okay.
It's outside the perimeter, but not too far.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay,
before you get to Abernathy.
Okay, I think I know at least part of your answer for this one, but I always ask people to rank the following in importance to you.
Okay.
Okay. Braves,
okay.
Hawks, Falcons, United.
Okay. So I will say Braves, of course.
Well, we saw that coming.
Braves, of course. Then the Hawks, Atlanta United, and then the Falcons.
Really? Falcons are usually one or two for almost everybody.
Sorry. I know, they're just not.
Most people in the last 3 years say the United.
Yeah.
A lot of people are upset with our Braves for moving and say them last. A lot of people.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
I wasn't even aware like how people took it really personally.
Mm-hmm. Well, working for them, I know that they worked really hard to try to do what they did in Cobb County here in Atlanta. And it became very apparent that it wasn't going to be able to happen. And so, you know, I think that they just had to make a move, and I think it's been a great move. You know, I mean, it's tough because maybe there's not the public transportation, but You know, I feel like Atlanta, I mean, the show that I work for is an Atlanta show. We drive all over the place. We'll drive an hour. People that are an hour outside of Atlanta still consider themselves like to be, you know, somewhat connected to Atlanta.
So, right.
I don't know. And Braves is like team of the South. So I think everybody just needs to kind of like get along on that one.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because it's like I said, they took it personally. Like they did it to them, like their personal, like they probably, it could be like the stadium could be like, what is that? Like 9 miles north? It's not that far, but people took it really, really personally.
Yeah. And I'm sorry if the people that took it personally, I mean, it certainly wasn't personal, right? And look at what an incredible place they built. That's, you know, people are now building things like that in Major League Baseball all over the country. They're trying to do that.
Right. To create like an actual... Yeah. I mean, I would always like to see cool stuff happen downtown.
Sure.
So when I moved back in 05... And they were like, downtown was still nothing, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, come on, like, let's get it together. We're a huge fucking city. And I feel like it's fine. Like, now we finally, like, stuff's starting to happen. Like, when I moved back, I remember I went to an ACVB event, right? A big fan of the ACVB. They were super helpful when I had my staffing company. And they were still talking about, like, the Coke Museum and the aquarium as, like, the big draws. I'm like, are you kidding me? When I left 10 years ago, that was your only draws.
Right. I think I went to World of Coke when I was like...
Right. So I feel like, you know, a lot's happened. Movie industry, food industry, like a lot's happened since.
Definitely.
I have not caught the United bandwagon. Mm-hmm. And I always think like when people say that first, I'm always like, it feels like very like this hipster trendy thing to do.
Yeah. Well, you should go to a game. It'll change your mind. I love going to United games. They're a total blast. They're so much fun. The only reason I say Hawks second is because I grew up in Orlando and the only professional sport we had was the Magic.
Right.
So, and I went to Magic games like that when Shaquille O'Neal was there and Penny Hardaway. And so I love basketball. So it was that for me, that's why that's second. But I mean, I also love sports. So that's why that's a hard lineup for me because it's not like I don't like any of them. It's just, you know, Atlanta United will definitely grow on you if you go. My very best friend has worked for them for a couple of years. So I typically will go and see her and then also just really enjoy a game. And Falcons, I think if they were just a little better, it would be easier. It's just, again, like when you watch, like, you know, I'm watching all this football with my son and it makes me sad because he doesn't root for the Falcons at all. You know, I mean, it's everybody else. And so hopefully we can get that mojo worked out because, you know, I mean, I'd love to see them, you know, do well, but.
Right. Yeah. I had season tickets for a couple of years when we did really well in like either 11 and 12 and 12 and 13. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. And when my kids are older, I will probably get season tickets again. Cause like, you know, when that third kid was born, I was like, yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah. Gotta pull back.
Okay. Publix or Kroger?
Ooh. Okay. So I go back and forth. It's so funny. I love the savings at Kroger. It's just, I just love handing them that card and they're like, you save $30. Yeah. And I'm like, yes, it does always feel more expensive to shop at Publix. It truly does. But Kroger is my first, but there are a couple things I can get at Publix I can't get at Kroger. So I will usually pop over to Publix every so often. There's a couple things over there that they carry, but Kroger's done a really good job. I feel like.
What is the best concert you've ever seen in Atlanta?
Oh, in Atlanta. Oh, got it. Hands down. Okay. So this is a great story. I was out of college, probably 25. And Madonna came to Phillips Arena. It was Phillips Arena at the time. She was doing her Immaculate Collection tour. So it was all her like throwback stuff. And so eight of my girlfriends, myself,
wow,
other friends,
wow,
we were broke, so we bought nosebleed seats in Phillips Arena, and we were like, we're getting decked out in 80s.
Yeah.
We are going to this concert. It's going to be amazing. So we get decked out. We go, we're getting settled in our seats up in the nosebleeds, and this guy in all black comes up to us, and he goes, ma'am, how many are in your party? And I was like, eight, there's eight of us, eight, all right here. Mm-hmm. And he's like, come with me, I'm with Madonna. And we were like, what? So we're like, okay, we're like, come on, ladies, let's go. And he was like, so Madonna likes to find true fans that want to come to her concert in the back, in the nosebleeds, and we bring them down front row.
No way.
And he walked us down.
No way.
Yes. He walked us down, and it was standing room only front row. It was like us and the bodyguard and then Madonna.
No way.
And she was sweating on us and her legs were amazing and she was amazing. And like it, I'll never forget it. It was absolutely incredible. I mean, we just sang every song, had our hands up. I mean, it was like incredible.
So speaking of hands up, you know, from doing the jobs that you've done and interviewing these certain people, some people just sort of have it, right? Mm. And it's like, you kind of can't take your eyes off them. And it's kind of just like, it's kind of like otherworldly. Mm-hmm. So for a very long story that I'll tell you later, I got to go to this concert a couple years ago called Music in Memphis. It's their big music festival. Mm-hmm. It's like their little Coachella, but way smaller.
Cool.
So Miley Cyrus was there. And I got to meet her, like, real briefly. And there honestly wasn't much to it. I think she's, you know, whatever. Like, it was like, whatever. But then we were in that spot you were in to watch her sing. And you're just, like, I fucking rock out to her songs now, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I'll never forget that, whatever, 20 minutes of my life of being, you know, you know what I mean? It's like, because she isn't the most talented. She isn't the best singer. She isn't whatever. But like when you get that close to someone that has that thing and knows how to do it. I mean, of course, Madonna's next level shit.
Oh,
I'm not comparing. But but I'm saying that like I wouldn't be a fucking Miley fan. But now when that shit comes on, I'm like,
oh, yeah,
put
definitely.
My hands up. Like I'm fucking all about it. Right.
You're like, I've seen her in concert. She's amazing.
But that close, it does change you.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
That's an awesome story though with Madonna, but we still have a couple questions to go. What is your favorite festival in Atlanta?
I would say, I mean, I don't know. Over the last few years, I feel like I'm not as much of a festival. I haven't been to a lot of festivals, but maybe that's just because of COVID. We haven't had them.
Right.
But
maybe you're just an old mom.
Probably. I mean, that's so true. I mean, back in the day, I mean, I used to go to Music Midtown. I haven't been in a long time. And like, I'd go down to the Dogwood Festival when it was at Piedmont Park. When I lived in town, it was a little easier. But I mean, I haven't really been to any festivals lately, truthfully. But it's probably, they haven't had them. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. The final question I always ask is, who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
Have my friend Beth Keener.
Okay.
Yeah. She works for Atlanta United. She's very funny. She's a fine little chick. You should talk to her. Or you could have maybe Kelsey Wingert. She's always a good one. She used to work for the Braves. She does John Boy Media now, and she
works for John Boy Media?
Yeah.
Oh, we got to get her on.
Yeah, she's very fun.
So I'm super new to John Boy. I think I saw my first video last year, and now it shows up in my, you know, suggested stuff, and I can't stop watching. Yeah. My wife, who could care less about sports, laughs her ass off.
It's perfect. Exactly what it should.
All right. We should connect me.
Yeah, she's great. She's amazing. She's getting married. She's going out to, she's doing basketball for the Rockets this year. So yeah, she's all over the place.
All right. Well, listen, I'm glad we got to do this.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for working hard for me many, many years ago.
Of course.
And still being a good person.
Trying.
All right. Good talk. That was Greer Howard, ladies and gentlemen, my buddy Greer Howard. And now you know the rest of the story. As we say, thank you so much for coming in and having a great chat. And she brought me some presents, and I appreciate those things. So yeah, anytime you want to send me a gift, totally down. Ask my address. I will send it to you. Or you can send it to 900 Murphy Avenue, because that's not my house. So I'm happy to just say that online. 900 Murphy Avenue, the home of Create ATL. If you want to send to my house, I guess send me a DM. But thank you so much again. And listen, every Friday, more episodes coming. I'm pretty sure we're going to have Black-owned C-Bone on this Friday. So be looking for that. And then some more fun episodes we've recorded recently. I'm interviewing someone tomorrow. Don't want to jinx it. So you'll hear about that, or you'll see it on the stories coming soon. Thanks as always for listening. Love you, miss you, mean it. I've got to run.